Yes, Tom.
Oh, but look who's coming in the door. We haven't seen this guy in a long time. There he is, Danny O'Neill, everybody. Everybody's favorite sports guy. Hello, Danny. Thanks for coming on.
No one's favorite sports guy. Is there anybody out there that says, no one. No one says that.
You're everybody's second favorite.
Yeah, I don't even know about that. Let's see. You don't need to butter me up, Curly. I'm already here.
I know you are, but why couldn't you be somebody's favorite sports guy?
Because we're dealing with the realm of like actual human existence, right? Like, have you ever heard my show, John?
No, but I have
exactly.
A show,
John.
Exactly. You would have to have somebody would have had to have been listening. You obviously haven't seen the ratings either, because no one's listening.
We don't talk ratings. All right, let's get to the fact that you are not everybody's favorite sports guy, but you are ours because you're coming on to talk about the sunny Seattle is showing off for a national audience. The crack. Has the NHL expansion team, and they did the big draft yesterday. I didn't see any of it. I didn't know you had a sports show, Danny, but apparently, how did it all shake out for everybody?
Well, it sounds like the Kraken did not spend as much money as some people were hoping they would.
Uh-oh.
They did choose from, he went to Providence College and is subsequently into the NHL, Brandon Tenev, who had what can only be described as a haunting mugshot. And as he was being interviewed, he heard the crowd start laughing and he goes, oh, you guys just saw my picture, huh? Because the picture does look very, very freaky. And Chris Fowler, the host, was like, well, what happened in that photo? And he goes, well, I just tell people I saw a ghost. And that is kind of what it looked like. He's a little slack jawed and intimidated and odd. But yeah, you got some players to root for now.
Uh-huh. When you said they didn't spend enough money, were there guys they left behind because they're trying to just, are they trying to do what Pete Carroll used to do a while ago, find the diamonds in the rough and then coach them up?
Well, they're leaving themselves with financial flexibility. And primarily, Carey Price, who is a Montreal Canadiens goalie, he's a little bit older. He's 33 years old and he's got a bit of a hip injury. He was considered to be the best player that was available. And the Kraken didn't choose him. Partly because he's older, $10 million salary, but they decided to kind of prioritize future spending. And we talked to someone today that's, hey, this is part of a bigger strategy because the salary cap is expected. There's expected to be a crunch across the league a year from now when some of the revenue and the financial hit from COVID is going to impact teams' ability to spend. And the Kraken could be in a position where they're one of the only teams with salary cap space a year from now. So this might have been a evidence of some discretion in preserving some of their cap flexibility.
One of the Seattle Times headlines before the draft picks that we made yesterday raised the question, will we follow Vegas in terms of their picks? Vegas, for people who don't follow any NHL, they were the last expansion team.
If they don't, they tuned out about 3 minutes
okay.
ago.
So Vegas ended up landing in the Stanley Cup Finals as an expansion team. I was wondering if have they done any comparisons between the kind of team they chose during the expansion draft and the kind of team we chose during the expansion draft.
Yes, they have. And the Seattle did not follow that template. Ron Francis said some of that was because teams were not willing to make the same mistakes again, which was trade draft picks for veterans that the Las Vegas chose from other teams. Seattle did have one of those guys, a guy named Pitlick.
Okay.
There was a player named Pitlick that they chose, and they traded him today.
Hold on one second. Sean, do you want any part of that? Do you want to jump in on that, or you are just going to hold? Is that too easy for you? Is that an insult? Too easy? Too easy?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. You're talking about...
All right, moving on.
Pitlick?
I'm out.
Not even...
Are you familiar with the Pitlick?
Stop.
Pitlick?
Stop.
Tyler Pitlick?
Oh,
stop. Hold
Pitlick.
On.
Yeah,
yes.
I got it.
How about Morgan
Hang on.
Geeky?
I'm on board.
Hang on. We're not getting into players. Just let me ask you this. Did you think all together as a show, which is the whole idea... Todd Lightwicki and the rest of the gang trying to make this sort of a big Seattle thing. Were you impressed by the presentation of the names of the players?
I think they should have let Marshawn Lynch read out each and every one because I think that would have been some high comedy.
Here's Marshawn.
Seattle Kraken select from the Nashville Predators. Marshawn, take it away.
Let's see. So with this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow.
to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
There you go.
Straight
that
up.
That would have been fun. And you know
what? Have him do them all? Yes, why not?
Can we have, just as a city, can we forbid, I don't know, pass an ordinance or something? Mm. Sports broadcasts can't use the throwing fish anymore. Like, do not go to Pike Place and have somebody throw fish. They're like, hey, guess what? We're live here in Seattle, so here comes a flying salmon. Oh, and they pick Kerfoot. Like,
at Pike's Place.
You're done with it? Yeah. You're done with that.
I was done with it.
Would you rather have them?
Ago.
How about this? How about they get a big piece of concrete and throw it off an overpass? Would you rather have them throw rocks down onto people?
Well, that sounds dangerous, John. No, hey. No, I wouldn't. That sounds antisocial. There's some sort of concrete trucker out there that I don't know about.
Every other person's a concrete trucker. By the way, did they also do something about coffee?
I didn't see anything about coffee. They did play some grunge, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Danny, just
Jam,
the last
Pearl Jam's from here. Play some Nirvana as well.
Danny, unlike you, we're doing a radio show someone's trying to listen to.
I have a quick question for you. You're a sports, or at least you were a sports journalist. Now you're a talk show host. How many people now in the Seattle market are going to have to bone up on their hockey knowledge and really understand the game better than I suspect a lot of us do? A lot of us grow up knowing baseball, basketball, and football, but a lot of us don't follow hockey that well. Do you feel like there's a big learning curve for you and the crew over there at 710?
You don't need to know anything about sports to talk about them.
Okay.
It's like us in politics.
You want to talk? Do you want to keep?
You think I need to have? I just did a full 10 minutes about a guy's facial expression during a mugshot, a football player announcing hockey picks, and somebody named Pitlick.
Okay. Well, can I ask you about WSU coach not going to the Pac-12 event because of the vaccine mandate?
I think it's an incredible recruiting strategy.
In favor, elaborate on that,
because he's decided not to get vaccinated. Look, I don't think that's a very reasonable position. I think he might run into Nick Rolovich might run into some trouble with his president, who probably doesn't appreciate that being the stance taken by the highest paid employee over there. But regardless of my opinion, 44% of people over 12 in this country aren't vaccinated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it stands to reason some of those people are potential college football players. Or family members with potential college football players.
The unvaccinated Cougars.
Exactly. Like, I think that coach suddenly became, he's the one guy that stood up and said, out of all of these different football coaches in all of these different conferences, who said, I'm not getting vaccinated, so I'm going to be teleported in. I'm going to appear at the Pac-12 media day via, look, I'm not saying it's a good strategy or it's necessary, but he's certainly standing out in that regard, and it could make him a consideration for some people in the country who would have never previously considered Washington
State
University.
When you're as desperate as the Cougars, I suppose you got to try everything.
I'm not going to say that this was planned this way, there was any sort of far-reaching thoughts that went into this, but I don't want to dismiss the possibility that that'll be it.
And then finally, what do you think about the hard knocks approach that the NFL is taking to unvaccinated teams, that they're not even going to get paid if they have to cancel games? That's pretty harsh.
They're trying to intimidate the players into being vaccinated. Those players who have been reluctant to do it so far, and they're going to see peer pressure. It's a very strange tactic in the sense that it's now being, hey, it's not about your health. We're not going to try to convince you of the public health benefits of this.
Yeah.
We're going to appeal to the peer pressure of, do you want to win? Because if you want to win, being vaccinated is going to provide your team or protect your team from some potential damages in that way, potential forfeits and things that would, because as I understand it, it's if players are unavailable, if they're vaccinated or if they're unvaccinated, there's going to be a difference in how those things are dealt with.
Yes. And the team that's not even the team that's been, you know, the unvaccinated outbreak has happened to, they also lose their game checks. If the Philadelphia Eagles summary is right, the team, if the Seahawks were playing the Raiders and the Raiders had an outbreak and we had to cancel the game, the Seahawks wouldn't even get paid. I don't even understand how you can do that.
Yeah, I would be very surprised. I don't, I don't know if any of this is going to happen. I think this is saber rattling at this point.
Really?
Okay. Like, that's honestly, I think they're trying to see, and okay, all of you guys that haven't gotten in line to get the vaccine so far, because you're kind of waiting to see what it's going to be, here's the other shoe, is that you're going to have a bunch of social restrictions that are placed on you if you're a player who's not vaccinated. And if your team doesn't have the guys that are available to play, it's going to be harder for you to make the playoffs. We'll see if that scares you into getting the vaccine.
Are there any Cougar coach types as NFL coaches? Are there any NFL coaches?
That's the thing. The NFL has not even messed around with that. If you're not vaccinated, if you're not vaccinated, you cannot have, and you're not a player, you cannot have contact with the players. You can't be what's called a tier one. So any coach who decides they're not vaccinated is not going to be able to coach this year. They're not going to be able to be present and have contact with players. Like, anything they did would have to be remote.
So last year, the head coach for Pittsburgh was fined $100,000. The club was $250,000. The coach is improperly wearing face masks outside on Sunday, right? And the Raiders head coach, John Gruden, was also nailed. So I guess they're going to continue to do this. Are you hearing rumors, not naming any players, that there are athletes that don't want to get the shot?
Oh, yeah. There's... Yeah, it's all over Twitter. It's not even... Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the best wide receivers in the league, has said today that he's considering retiring as opposed to getting the shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's DJ Reed, who is a cornerback for Seattle. He did get the shot, but he said it was basically because the threat of potentially losing games and what he felt was pressure from the league and the NFL Players Association led him to get the shot. He doesn't know how to feel about it. There's a dude. There's a bunch of players in Buffalo who have been... Buffalo's actually been, I think, one of the more publicized teams in terms of not getting... Cole Beasley has talked about that. He said he would get vaccinated and speak out on behalf of the vaccine if his wife was given a share of the profits from Pfizer. Was one of his... Oh, man, there's all sorts of stuff. John Feliciano... who I believe his Twitter handle is Mongol Feliciano. He's gone the full nine yards with Dr.
The blind Qatar player?
No.
That's his brother, Jose.
Yeah. It's an offensive lineman there. It's not even behind closed doors. You're hearing and seeing it right now.
Right. So they're just publicly coming right out with the fact that they don't want to get it. They know that the chances of them dying, the chances of them being sick from COVID are known, but the chances of maybe getting a heart that
unsure about the long. I mean, there's some other, like, some of the fears that are being cited or some of the things that are being cited. It is Mongo Feliciano. You made me think he was a blind guitar player. No, his name is John Feliciano. I'm gonna read you his tweet. This is a tweet from 2 hours ago. Mongo Feliciano. It's been proven that COVID was made in lab. Fauci, also part of Pfizer, with an emoji where the little face is scratching his head like, That's why people don't want to get the vaccine. Sad to come to the realization that you cannot trust the government. # don't shoot the messenger.
Swell.
You throw this ball. Thanks, Danny. Thank you, Danny. There he goes.
Your favorite sports guy now, John?
There he is, everybody's favorite sportscaster. Danny O'Neill.
And Mongo.
I miss Danny around the studio.
That's right. I bet.
Boy, was he fun. Tom and I would be sitting there. Jacob's there trying to talk to us about the show. Danny would walk by. Tom fires a question at him. And Danny stands there for 20 minutes and talks to the two of us. And then we're like, oh, that's right. We got a show we got to work on. Have a good old day.
Now we do it on the air.
Yes, we do. All right. Let's see. Don't forget. Write to us. Are people texting already to 989-973 trying to get in on those fabulous tickets and a chance to be able to play the know-it-all quiz, Jacob?
They are. I'm reading through their interesting the details they think are interesting about themselves. Yes.
Got it. All right. That's Jacob, as you can tell, is very judgy, everybody. It was the one that got in the other day was the guy, Michael, who did the imitation of the sound of a rat stuck in his
lower motor.
Yeah, we've been corrected because we've gotten it wrong before.
All right. Sorry. All right. Fine. The theme of this week's know-it-all quiz is the double entendres or awkward moments just before Tracy Taylor walked in, because for some reason this whole week we seem to have a whole bunch of stories that were slightly blue. Right? Did they have that kind of feeling to them? Oh, there's Tracy now. Hey, Trace, how are you?
Hi, guys. Nice, what's going on?
Nice sweater.
Thanks. It's new.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, well, I appreciate it.
Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. I'm giving you that number, and I'm reminding you that Keel Mortgage is the people to call. If you're thinking about refinancing that house or reverse mortgages, no one does a better job than Laura Keel and everyone else that works for her at Keel Mortgage. That's Keel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. All right. In between commercial breaks, I'm trying to work on my gift, Tom, so I...
Are you stringing it together, I'm assuming?
It is a photograph that I took of something at wintertime on Dougie's property, and I had it blown up, and then I went out and I got a frame, and then I didn't like the color of the frame, so I'm painting the frame, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is like, I am the most, what would be the proper word not to get me fired? The most effeminate man in his life. And I know giving him the gift, he's going to be all like, but, you know, you have to express some emotions sometimes in order to have some people understand that you understand emotions, which leads us into the story that we found. I thought this is just a wonderfully written and beautifully articulated, and it certainly makes really common sense that you can help someone at work with a very, very simple question that you can ask them that could make them just feel better about being at work or just their life that day.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical, except that they've done tests to sort of approve it. But I think it's not, you may say it seems kind of obvious, but to me, it's not necessarily common sense. And that is, if you show some concern for the person outside of the context of work, that builds tremendous bonds of trust. Now, they start this with, and this makes perfect sense, they talked about nurses dealing with patients, and if the nurse is smart enough to ask the patient about, so how you feeling? I mean, are you nervous? Is this a big deal? I mean, that immediately, I get that. When you're a patient and you're about to go into some big surgery or something, that makes perfect sense. Somebody asks you how you're feeling, go, yeah, let me tell you how I'm feeling. My heart's pounding.
As you're laying there and they're putting tubes in you. Right.
That's right. You're about as vulnerable as you will ever be. And they ask you that, you create this bond. Wow, they care about me as a person. I'm not just this functioning body that they're going to somehow, you know, improve. Yeah. Well, they took that understanding of trust and then applied it to the workplace. And so the argument here is that if you have a coworker or somebody, if you're a supervisor of somebody, and they either look like, you know, especially upset or especially excited and up, just to ask them, hey, you look upset or you seem excited today, does wonders for your relationship. Because this is what I think is interesting, the rationale behind it. So they have done all these tests that indicate that that's indeed the case. When somebody does that to you and then you, respond, you do indeed increase the trust level between the two of you. But what they say is the psychological reason why that trust quotient goes up is because it means that you, as a coworker and or supervisor, are willing to take the time to get into some possibly messy emotional issues that most of us don't. Hey, Jerry, how's it going? You just kind of wave and it's like, yeah, I don't have time to. So, you know, when you say, hey, how's it going? You don't want somebody to say, oh, my God, it was the worst day of my life. Let me tell you about it. I don't got time, Jerry.
Right.
That it shows that when you ask those kinds of questions, you're taking the time. And since time is money and we value time, that's really an important signal.
Yeah, but it's not
makes
like
sense.
How you doing, Jerry? All right. It's not like that. It's supposed to be. Because I actually had this happening. I was walking by. Remember Pete used to our program director?
Absolutely.
Walking by his office once. And he goes, hey, Curly, come in here for a second. I walked in. He goes, you okay? And it was, I was, no, not really. And he goes, do you want to take the day off? And I said, yeah. And he goes, go home. But it was so funny. I guess he just sort of picked up this energy of them. Yeah. But then he's asked other times and people have asked, Sean that, Sean, how you guys doing? How you doing in there, Sean?
You guys suck.
And I'm like, okay, well, fine. But, you know, sometimes before the show starts, I'll talk to Sean and I'll say, Sean, you okay? He's like, and right, Sean? You'll be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or other times he just sort of seems down or sad. But that little simple question, not the from across, hey guys, doing over there, all right? Not like that. It's more right. just that connection that, you know, looking the guy in the eye or slowing down and really wanting an answer as to how the person's feeling.
Don't you think, though, there are people like maybe Dougie who maybe doesn't want to talk about it? Like maybe you're going through something really emotional at home, you know, something with your wife or your kid or your pet or something, and you are doing everything you can to hang on to your sanity by going to work. And if somebody says,
what are you doing?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm trying to forget.
The other day. But Tom, isn't that life? I mean, isn't that like.
Well, no, yes.
Well, yeah, you're trying to hold it all together. But why should if the person is legitimately, seriously concerned?
Yes.
And how are you doing?
Yes.
Why shouldn't we have that kind of connection? We spend 10 hours a day together, right?
That's true, but
I'm surprised you're defending or like skeptical of this. I thought you would be the guy all on board on this idea.
Well, I also wonder if somebody might feel like, well, you're being nosy. Like, in other words, there are a lot of people, I think, that don't want their business, you know, brought out into the light. And I would think that that would be, like, the last thing you want to do is, you know, have somebody burst into tears, at the workplace. Or may feel like, I would take that from somebody that I know pretty well, but I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to pour out my heart to you. You're just a guy in the cubicle or gal in the cubicle, you know, next to me or something.
Let me tell you, it all depends on who's asking. I mean, there's certain people asking, I would be like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't you worry about me.
Let me complicate this one more thing, though. Uh-huh. Let's say that somebody is feeling bad, and you say, hey, you seem happy. They say there is a trust penalty, that if you misread somebody who's happy and, is feeling sad and you suggest they're happy, that might hurt your relationship. But if you're feeling happy and somebody says, hey, you seem upset. Are you okay? There's no penalty that you got that wrong. The fact that you asked out. So just be careful about saying somebody, hey man, you seem happy. Are you, you know, what's going on in your life?
If you mischaracterize
it, that could backfire.
No, I wouldn't ask on that one. Let me try to see if I can get something out of Tracy.
Hi guys.
Hi Tracy, how you doing today? You seem sort of down. Here's Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us on a Thursday. Jacob, why is this story in the rundown? What was it about this Dax Shepard defending the use of testosterone shots?
I think it reminded me of you, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I said to Kristen, I've been waiting.
Is this Dax Shepard now? This is the guy that was in...
Yes, this is Dax Shepard. He's married to Kristen Bell, by the way, who's a name more people might be familiar with.
...for 10 years for Marvel to call so that I'd have an excuse to get huge. And they're not going to call. Like, that ship sailed. I'm 46. They're not going to call. So I just have to do it for my own amusement. And I gained about 24 pounds.
Dad!
Just 6 days a week, lifting heavy, protein shakes going bananas, heavy testosterone injections.
I told you, you got to be careful about these testosterone injections. I'm telling you.
I think taking yourself to your 28-year-old level of testosterone is just fine.
Okay, so he...
Why does he remind you of John?
Oh, no, I mean, nothing specific about his, just literally the testosterone shot.
That's all it is. I see. Well, at the age of 35, the average man loses about 1% to 2% of testosterone a year, and then you hit your 50s, you're going to be down into the... like low levels, and then you produce more estrogen, and then you finally turn sort of, you know, put mushy, and you don't have much of a sex drive. Your ability to control stress goes away.
You start making birthday presents for your neighbors.
Okay, you know what? That's mean. Because, Tom, of all the sensitive men, there's only one guy more sensitive than me, and that's you, okay? So, like, don't make fun of me for making a birthday present for my neighbor. I'm already very vulnerable right now, even though I've got the testosterone level of a 22-year-old.
You seem upset.
I'm fine. I'm going to inject myself right into the neck with some more testosterone.
Hey, you know about this stuff. I don't understand. Couldn't you work 6 days a week lifting heavy weights, protein shakes, going bananas, and not take the testosterone injections?
You could, but you won't see the muscle growth. Because after a certain point, it's harder to put on muscle. As you get older, testosterone helps you break the muscle down, bring the muscle back up again. You can lift heavy with it. So I get tested every 3 months. I do a complete, like, 14-page test smack of my blood. They look at everything, all these levels and everything else. It's up or down or up or down. And I got the testosterone level of, like, a 26-year-old.
But that's just
go ahead,
for the
Sean.
Look.
Say something inappropriate right now, because Tracy Taylor's about to come in.
No.
Nope.
I got a quadruple entendre, but I ain't unleashing it here, bro.
Hold on to that thing.
Hey, I'll try. Dax. I spent my whole life as a medium boy, and now I'm a big boy, and I like it. There you go, John.
There you go. Good for him.
Big boy.
All right. Again, Tom. Jacob, make a note that Tom made fun of me for being sensitive during the show. Tracy, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Did somebody say big boy?
Not me. Dax, whatever the guy's name is, who cares?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the burger. I was like, wait, who's got burgers?